we are going to Luke, the 24th chapter. Let me start in verse number 47. Hallelujah. How many believe that there's a perfect will of the Lord for every single one of our lives? I believe in that. I remember a friend of mine telling me a long time ago, he said, you know, I don't know if God really gets involved in this particular area of our life. And I said, well, you know, I didn't really argue with him at the time. But the longer I think on it and pray on it, I believe that Jesus wants to be involved in every decision of our life. Every decision. Every decision. We're going to go to Luke 24:47. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, and we're starting in verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. If Jesus had just left me as far as from this earth, I probably would not be as joyful as these people were. But they were very joyful. They were very prayerful. And the Bible says they were praising and blessing God because they were hopeful for a promise that He had just told them about. And we know this is the... When this happened, this is right before the upper room experience happened. And so these people, the promise that God had talked to them about was the promise of the Holy Ghost. And I'm still thankful for the promise of the Holy Ghost tonight. Are you thankful for that? Amen. Pastor, will you pray over this tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you're seated, reach over and shake a neighbor's hand and tell them you're glad to see them, even if you aren't glad to see them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Jesus led them so far in our text before He gave them a promise and instructions. And they were to wait for Him till He showed up. Is there anyone in this house that's waiting for Jesus to show up in your life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am waiting for God to show up in my life. There's answers that I need from Jesus. Is there anybody that you have answers you need from Jesus? I'm preaching tonight on the... I was going to preach on the power of His vision, but I'll tell you what I'm going to preach instead tonight is waiting for His vision. Waiting for His vision. Because we don't get anywhere. If you don't like the word wait, you won't like Jesus. I'm sorry. But it's just the hard, cold truth. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, but faith is a seeing in of itself. It is seeing Jesus Christ as the Almighty Savior and the Risen One. Faith is not jumping off. And contrary to what people believe, faith is not made up. But faith, my faith, is founded on the Word of God. On written words that I can see with my eyes. Faith is not jumping off of a ledge just because you're excited and you're pumped up from energy you got from your McDonald's hamburger or your Coca-Cola. Rather, faith is built upon a word you received from God. Faith is built on a promise that God gave you. Faith is seeing, but not seeing through vision that is earthly, but rather vision that is heavenly. Faith is built on seeing what, not what I want to see, not what you want to see, but what He wants to see. Faith, the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And yes, Noah had faith, but he also had a heavenly vision that God had gave him. He also had a heavenly commandment and a promise that God had given unto him. And so, you can say all day, well, this faith is made up. No, this faith is not made up. It's made up of a vision that God has given to us. The Bible said the words that were written in our Bible, the men that wrote them were moved on by the Holy Ghost. The same thing that led them to write those words is the same thing that's going to lead me and you in the 21st century. We're in a crazy world, but we are the ones that are set apart. We're separated. We're living holy. We're doing all these things that are contrary to the world that we live in today. Just like Noah, it was contrary to be building an ark. Just like Abraham, it was contrary to be building altars in that day. He was a novelty. The Bible don't talk about any other man in his day building altars like he did. But he did it because he had a promise from God. And me and you tonight, we have promises from God. And a word from God is the backbone of our faith. The Word of God is the backbone of our faith. My faith, you see, is built on a place that no man has ever laid his eyes on. My faith is built on a streets of gold that are just talked about in this book that's just old and old fogey. No, I've got news for you. The Bible is more than just a book from 2,000 years ago or how many ever years that they want to call it. I've got news for you. The Bible is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. My faith is built on something that I've not laid eyes on. But yet I have a vision that one of these days, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be caught up together with the dead in Christ. And I'm going to see streets of gold. I'm going to see pearly gates. I'm going to see walls of jasper. And most of all, I'm going to see a figure that no man can even describe. You don't see any man going around saying, hey, have you ever thought about the face of Jesus? But you know, I kind of wonder, what would the face of Jesus look like? We don't know. We don't have nothing to compare it to. But one of these days, I've got a vision in the back of my mind that one of these days, I'm going to see that come to pass virtually before my eyes. Realistically before my eyes. How many believe that you're going to see Jesus face to face one of these days? We believe in a place that we've not seen, but yet we do not wait on God to show up and give us the right vision for situations that we do see right now in our life. Or is it that we believe God to intervene, but we don't want to wait for God to intervene? David said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He talked in another passage about, I'm going to hide your word in my heart so I won't sin against you, God. If David said God's word was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path, don't we know that he will do the same thing for me and you in 2020? Jesus can be a light for our pathways. David had an understanding though. Yeah, he was a light to his pathway, but he also wrote the same words, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because if you're ever going to let the Lord lead you, you're going to have to learn to wait. Because letting God lead you also has to do with waiting on God. Waiting on God and being led by God are the same thing, because you're not going to be led of God if you refuse to wait on God. Waiting on the voice of God, though, is always worth it. Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The children of Israel, they were on a journey from Egypt into the promised land. What does the Bible say they were led by? They were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Now, that's something I've never seen. I would be scared if I seen a pillar of fire out in front of the church tonight. I would be scared. But this is what the Bible says they were led by. The Bible says, by day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. That's our God. That's the God that me and you serve. Me and you serve a God that He wants to lead us every step of the way. But how many are willing to follow that in 2020? The Bible continues, so the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. Oh, what a church we would be if all the people in this sanctuary tonight, all the eyes in this sanctuary, all the eyes that we don't naturally see, the eyes of the heart. We don't naturally see the eyes of our soul. But if all the eyes of our souls and all the eyes of our hearts were on Jesus, were on what He said, and you said, no, I'm not going to move until He moves. I'm not going to go there unless He says to go there. What kind of church would we have tonight? Oh, how many souls would be on these pews tonight because somebody started praying and somebody started seeking the face of God. And so when they were in Walmart, they had a small feeling in their heart that said, you know what? That person right there is who I want you to talk to. Come on, what would happen if a saint of God, just one or two or three or four or five, under the sound of my voice, would get it in your heart that you're not going to move unless He moves. Oh, I'm nothing unless He does something in me. Oh, God. There's a song that I listened to recently that I've been listening to over and over in my prayer life. It says, I'm not enough. Unless you come, will you meet me here today? I'm telling you today, we are nothing unless Jesus shows up. We are nothing unless Jesus shows up. I want you to know the will of God for every one of us is to be led just like the Israelites were in the nighttime and in the daytime. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Oh, when it's easy and when it's hard, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. When the going gets tough, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. When we think we could do it on our own, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit anyways. Oh, come on tonight. When the valley comes, when the mountain comes, I'm going to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It don't matter what situations come in your life. Sometimes I feel like I can handle it. But even if I can feel like I can handle it on my own, I know that I am nothing without Jesus. I know that I can do nothing without Him. Oh, so I have to go back to that prayer closet and I have to pray and say, God, forgive me for thinking that I could do this on my own. Forgive me for thinking that I could do this alone. I need Your Spirit. I need Your guiding hand. Hallelujah. His perfect will is for us to grab a hold of His vision and to just keep on walking by that vision every single day. That's the perfect will of God. That's the perfect will of God. You know, we live in a world where nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. I've got news for you. There is something that's perfect. It's the will of God for your life. It's the will of God for your life. And then next, oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching for a second. Oh, next time, if you're in a prayer closet and you get a hold of the will of God for your life and you're really prayed up, next time some bully, not literally, they're probably not some bully like you would think of at school, but somebody, anybody who wants to say something against what you're doing, but you know you're in the will of God, you can just look, stand fast footed and say, you know what? Yeah, you might think this is crazy, but God told me this. God told me to walk this way, and so I'm going to walk this way. God showed me a vision of what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do what He told me to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember a couple years ago, a personal example here. There was a guy wanting me to do a partnership with him in business. And I, at first, it looked like a great deal. I mean, it was a good deal. Don't get me wrong. I would have loved to, and I've had several. This was just one instant, but I know several of us have stories in this place tonight where you thought it was a good deal, but yet after you got to talking to people who are in your life that pray, after you prayed yourself, you just don't feel that it's the right thing to do, even when it's a good deal. And so I went up to him and I said, man, I'm sorry. I know it's a good deal, but I just don't feel like it's the right thing for me to do. I'm going to tell you, and this is something that had dollar signs on it, and that's sometimes the hardest things for us. And I'm talking to the choir tonight, but I'll tell you, it don't matter how many dollar signs are involved, but if it don't have the will of God stamped on it, I don't want it. I don't want no dollar sign to come before the will of the Lord for my life. I don't want no education to come before... I'm sorry, I'm going to get preaching on that if I'm not careful, but I'm telling you something. The will of God really is real. So many people don't believe the will of God is real. They're like, oh, God, I want your will for my life, but I'm just going to keep on doing what I've always done because that's what I've always done. No, I'm telling you something. God can favor those that follow His cloud. God can favor those that are willing to listen to His voice. I've heard story after story after story of men that prayed. And they said, you know, God, I'm nothing, but I'm going to do this. And God blessed them, not only spiritually, but financially. Oh, God, I'm sorry to get off on that. And I'm not saying anything about this. But long story short, this guy came back to me a little while later and said, you know, Jared, I think that you should do this instead. And it was another offer. And it had benefit to me. You know, it's easy to see the benefits when they're presented to you. And it's not just workplace environment. But, you know, it's easy to see that relationship and say, you know what, that could be a good relationship for me. Because we don't see the benefit in some, we don't see the negatives in something that we want or something that we desire. We only see the positive side of whatever it is that we are looking into normally, especially if it's something that's going to benefit us. It would have been a good deal for me, you know. I was interested. I say all that to say this. Even the second time or the third time he came to me, I said, you know, I know it's not the right thing for me. I know it's not the will of God for me to do this. Oh, I'm telling you something. And I didn't even think about it back then. Honestly, you may say, well, man, you spiritual or you got something to get. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't even thinking about this until it's been 3-4 years ago. I don't know how many years ago now, but it's been several years ago. At the time, I was not thinking anything except I was just being obedient to my pastor. I was being obedient to what I felt in prayer. I wasn't thinking it through probably all the way that I should. That just goes to show you, when you do less but you pray more, God will make up the slack that you may not have the intellectual ability to wrap your mind around whatever's going on, but if you will pray, if you will seek His face. I just kept waiting for God to, because honestly, this door, I didn't never feel like I knew it was not the right door, but I knew there was a door that God was about to open. And finally, God used the same guy actually to come up to me finally with this deal that I just couldn't turn down. And after several times of the same guy coming to me over and over and over, saying, you know, hey, about this, what about this, what about this, this, this. And I said, you know, no, 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 until I want you to know, and I'm not going to go into any details, but I'll just tell you this. When you say no, when it's finally time to say yes, you'll say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I didn't say no when my flesh wanted me to say no. Or when my flesh wanted me to say yes. I'm so glad that I said no when my flesh told me yes. I'm so glad I listened to the voice of God that said, no, son, that ain't what I have for you. I have something better. Because let me tell you something. God don't work with good deals. God works with great deals. God don't work in something that we can wrap our mind around. But He said, greater things do I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. They're thoughts of peace. Oh, oh God, I'm so thankful. Right now, I think it'd be appropriate if there's something in your life that's happened over the last couple of years that you said no to, or you just followed the plan of God and you know that it was only God that worked it out in your favor. I wonder if you couldn't just give Him a hand clap of praise. If you feel like dancing right now, if you feel like lifting your voice. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know why the Lord does those things like that? It's because for you to look back on a few years later, you might finally get into what God said was the will of the Lord for your life, and you're saying, man, this is great, but God, I are you sure this is what? And you go back, yep, that's what He told me a long time ago. I'm just going to keep on waiting till He changes the course. I'm just going to keep on waiting. I'm telling you something. God worked a deal out in my favor. The deal is, when it's a God deal, you'll know, because it's not something that man can orchestrate. I took my hands off it. I just said, no, I'm not going there. I did not do anything. I just let God do it all. And I'm telling you, the best times of your life, the best season of your life, oh, the blessings of God will flow when we take our hands off of it. And we just say, God, into Your hands. Into Your hands I put this. Into Your hands I put this, God. Oh, whatever it is, if it's a relationship tonight, if it's a friendship, if it's whatever it is tonight that you may be struggling with, young person or adult, whatever it is, you can place it in the hands of God and trust that He will work it out. Because you know what? He might care about both sides, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He will always work it out for your good, for my good, for our good. He's going to work it out for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have a problem in today's society. Well, not today's society, ever society since the beginning of time. We are blind to certain things. But there's one that His name is Jesus. He's not blind to anything. He can see all. And that's why we have to lean on Him so much. You know, Jesus created us to only be able to see certain things. Obviously, I'm not talking about the naked eye. I'm talking about, oh, well, I know this, I know that. There's so many things we don't even know about our own lives that God hides from us. Because He does that because He wants us to lean on Him. Because when we lean on Him, we can, because He gets the glory. So you see, if I would have worked all that out, I wouldn't have been able to, a couple years later, say, you know, I don't know how, God, but You did that. I wouldn't be able to do that tonight had I had been able to see everything. But because my eyesight was not good enough, I just had to depend on Him. I can go back and say, hey, You get all the glory. You get all the praise. And so tonight, you may be facing a situation
that you want to put your hands on, I've got news for you. Take your hands off and say, God, I trust you to work it out. It may be frustrating you in your everyday life. You may be saying, God, I wish I could see this, or I wish I could see that. I'm telling you, the less you know, the better, because that means God's going to get more glory in the end. God's going to get more glory for the end. He wants us to just wait. He wants us to just wait on Him. If we will seek Him and wait for His timing, I'm telling you something. The Bible talks about when it was God's timing, no man can stop it. You see, when I try to open a door, another man can maybe shut that door, because we're on equal playing fields. But when God opens a door unto you, when God says it's time for that lost loved one to come back, when God says, oh, come on, when God says this or God says that, no man can stop it. That's why we've got to be following the leading of the Holy Ghost tonight. You can stand. I'm about to close. David asked for God's help. And he said back then it was a light unto his path. We are not actually in an earthly wilderness like the Israelites were. But I'm going to tell you something. We are in a wilderness figuratively today. We are in a mess of a world. Number one, the biggest thing we've got going against us tonight is we are in the information age and we have all this stuff going up in our head. But what God says. And so tonight I've just come to remind us there is nothing greater in 2020 to have the vision of the Lord. There is nothing greater than to have the vision of the Lord for your life. Just like they needed the light back then that God gave them every day. He gave it to them morning, noon, and night. We need that in our life today. I need that. You say New Year's resolutions or New Year's goal. I'll tell you what we need tonight more than anything else is this year we need to be spirit led. We need to be led in the morning, led at noontime, led in the evening, led at night by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, we have all heard that we're living in this microwave generation. Oh, it's a sad, I know. This generation, we want it now. We get it now. We have all these things at our access. And I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to keep on going by that. But we know how many things are accessible to us on an instantaneous basis. You may say, well, I might have to wait 5 minutes. But I'm telling you something, that's nothing. Because sometimes you might be waiting days. You might be waiting weeks. You might be waiting months. You may be even waiting years until you finally get the breakthrough in your life that you've been praying for. And I'm not talking about spiritual breakthrough tonight. I'm talking about answers that you've been praying for somebody in your life. You may be waiting a long time for God to finally answer. But that's why we have to learn to yield in His presence. That's why we have to learn to come every single day and get a vision, renewed vision that God, you're the one in control. I can't do this. Oh God, you cannot necessarily get a vision. Oh, from God or the Word of God, as instantaneous as you may get your Starbucks drink. But I'm telling you something, the Word of God is worth the wait tonight. A vision from God is worth me waiting. You know, oh man, I'm closing, but I feel to say this last thing. We fight the temptation. I just read this yesterday somewhere. It's easy to get up in the morning times and you say, well, I could pray, or I could go get all this other stuff done before I pray. Because in the time it may take you to wait on a word from God, you may be able to go to the gym and get your workout in. You may be able to get your coffee. You may be able to, I don't know, scramble your eggs or get your bacon. You may be able to take the kids to school and be early. Whatever it is, in the time that you would pray. But I'm going to tell you something. I've heard so many people say this. When you put God first, all those other responsibilities, all those other things that you feel like you need to check off that list, they just fall into place because seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, if we will wait on the Lord, if we will wait for a vision. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a lame man. There was a woman with an issue of blood. There was people named a man named Zacchaeus. You know what they did? They did whatever it took to get a word from the Lord. It was inconvenient for Zacchaeus to be up in the tree. But he knew any inconvenience to get the vision of the Lord for my life is worth it. Tonight, I am done tonight. But let me tell you this. It's a new year, and we all are thinking, well, what am I going to do with my new year? I challenge you this year. Get a vision for what God has for your year. Get a vision for what God has for your year. Oh, you may say, well, oh, it's just another year. Nothing's going to change. Nothing will change as long as you don't change. But if you'll get a vision of what He wants, if you'll wait in prayer rooms, if you'll wait when you come before church and you don't just say, hey, God, bless this, bless that, bless this, and let's go home. And you say, no, God, I'm going to wait until you give me a renewed vision tonight in this service. I'm going to wait until your promise comes back into my viewpoint. God, I'm going to wait on a vision from you. Is there anybody tonight that you want to come to the altar one more time and just recommit to this year? God, I'm going to wait on your vision. I'm going to wait on what you want to say about my life, what you want to say about my plans, what you want to say about my future. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm going to tell you what I do know. I'm going to hold to the vision that God has for me and not my own plans. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just seek Him one more time.